You say, just keep on coming. Amen. Anybody over here? Somebody's done something nice for you? How?
I don't have the trouble to drive with it about a year ago. I was over there shoveling.
Yeah. Send them up my way. Anybody else? Neighbor brought you some pumpkin bread. Oh, boy. Yeah. Lois. Man. I read a story just last night about a lady who, thinking about things in life, she thought about an eighth grade teacher who introduced her to some great books, poems, and things that meant a lot to her and got her really interested in reading, expanding her life. And now she's all grown up, and you know, she's got kids of her own, but it came to her mind, so she bought an airline ticket. She flew back to her where she went to school, found out that teacher was still teaching after 40 years, went to the school, found that teacher, and sat down and said, I just want to thank you for how you opened my life up to new visions of life. And said they both sat there and cried. Anybody else? Something good? Brenda. Just this morning, already. Wow. What did he have? He fixed your breakfast.
Yes, and he constantly cooks for me. He's a cook in the house. He helps me out a lot of
time. Isn't that nice? I want to talk to you about a season for good. How do you like my picture up there? Isn't that pretty? I'd like to be there. Yeah. It'd be nice. Good is identified in Webster as kind, beneficial, that which contributes to happiness. To be good-hearted is to be of a kind disposition. How many of the other kind have you run into? Rude. Cut you off in traffic. Won't move when the light turns green. Huh? Is this describing you? Good-hearted person to be of a kind disposition. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your good deeds shine out to all, that they may see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now that kind of flies in the face of some things I've heard. People, well, I don't do my good deeds in front of anybody else. Don't let anybody else. Jesus kind of said, hey, wait a minute. Everybody needs to see you doing good things, so that your heavenly Father will be praised. Is that right? That is, let your kind, beneficial deeds, which contributes to the happiness of others, shine out for all to see, that God may be praised. Though this season is a special time to do so, the Christian really ought to be involved in this all the time, oughtn't we?
Amen.
Around the calendar. This kind of activity every day. My challenge to you this morning is to use this good season to launch a lifestyle of good works. I want to start out by letting you know that this was the lifestyle of Jesus Himself. Acts 10 and 38 says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing what? Doing good and healing all who were possessed, oppressed by the devil." Not possessed, oppressed. "For God was with him." Some things I want us to note about this. Effective good deeds needs God's anointing. It's one thing just to go out here and do good. Most of the time, the reason people who don't serve God do that is because it makes them feel good. But you notice, Jesus, it is specifically pointed out, He was anointed of the Holy Spirit. And because of that anointing, He went about doing good for others. I think we need to be anointed by the Lord. That when we do good, people will readily see it's not about us, but it's about God. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. Been a little bit different story if Jody would have brought that toast and eggs in to Brenda this morning and said, "In the name of Jesus, I serve you breakfast." Oh. See, I'm laying some groundwork for future. Usually when we're doing something like that, "I'm going to do this for her, and that means she's going to owe me back." Wasn't that way with Jesus, was it? He was anointed to go do good deeds for people without expecting anything in return. Jesus was anointed to heal and deliver. You notice His life. He went about everywhere doing good and healing. When you read the life of Jesus in the Gospels, you hear about the good things He did, and most of it had to do with healing. Opened a blind man's eyes. Wasn't that a good deed? Made a lame man to walk. He healed a lady who suffered a long time and spent all that she had on physicians and was no better off. Now, I think we could find a few of those around. Delivered a young girl, set her free from possession. Raised a maiden back to life. Can you imagine the joy in that house at that good deed? Jesus could have just kept on walking. But He went by, He stopped then, and He took the time to raise this young lady to life. And you remember the story about Him feeding the hungry. Had the 5,000 men, plus women and children, took a little boy's lunch and turned it into a big time for everybody that was there and famished and hungry for that day. So He did get into some other areas besides just healing. Your anointing might be a little different from Jesus. Maybe you're not anointed to go around laying hands on the sick and healing those people. Doesn't mean you can't pray for them. It doesn't mean that God won't honor your prayer to bring healing to their body. But that was Jesus' anointing. What is our anointing? Jesus described some of the good deeds Christians need to be anointed for and what they'll be judged for on the judgment day. Remember in Matthew 25, He said, "Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, bringing the needy into your home and sharing with them." Feeding the hungry. How many of us in our lifetime has actually fed somebody that was hungry? I remember my grandfather, great-grandfather, really, Kemp Lay. Just a farmer, lived out in the country back in the Depression. You know, there at that time, from what I understand from some of the old-timers that I've known, people literally went on the road. Men who didn't have work, they hit the road, they walked the roads, they stopped into farmers and anybody's house if they could cut wood or whatever they could do. And so this gentleman was coming down the road and he was carrying all of his possessions on his back. And he stopped at my great-grandfather's gate at his yard. And he said, "Do you have anything that I can do to work for a meal?" He said, "I'm hungry." And my great-grandfather opened the gate, brought him in. It wasn't meal time. But my great-grandmother fixed that gentleman a full-fledged meal. Set it down on the table. Said he didn't say much. They didn't know him, didn't know where he came from, but they fed him. He was good and full when he got up from the table and he picked up his possessions and walked out on the front porch and down the walk to the gate. And when he went to shut the gate, he turned around and he said to Kemp Lay, he said, "As long as you live, you will never want for anything." And walked down the road. And as long as Kemp Lay lived, till he was 93 years of age, he never wanted for a thing in his life. God maybe sent an angel along that time. But there was an example of he was anointed for that time to feed a hungry man. We've been sending at Christmas time from this church, we've been sending offerings to orphanages in Haiti and India and kids in Mexico who are doing without. And we have missionaries there that know these kids. They themselves minister to these kids. And they take that money and feed them. We had a lady here back some years ago, Mother Workman from Haiti. She's now 90 years old. She's still on the road working and still a missionary in Haiti. She has 1,000 kids she has to feed every day at 90 years of age. And so she was here, and we took up an offering for her. And I said, "Do you want that in a check or cash?" She said, "Make it cash. I got to send it down for them to eat tomorrow morning." She had to wire it to the orphanage for them to. What a feeling that was to be able to know that kids' hungry bellies would be filled and fed. Giving somebody a drink when they are thirsty. You know, the Bible says if you give as much as a cup of cold water in my name, he said, I'll see to it that you have a reward in heaven. Have you ever run into somebody that's really thirsty? And you know, I've had some fellows on the street that they said they were hungry, but I know they were thirsty. And if they tell me they're hungry, I say, "Let's go into this little restaurant or cafe. I'll buy you a sandwich." "Oh, I'd rather have the money." Then I know they're thirsty. And I say, "Well, I'll get you a soda pop." "I'll get you a bottle of water. I'm not going to get you that other stuff." But I'm talking about somebody who's really thirsty in life. You know, there's some other thirst in life too. There are people that are thirsty for attention. They don't get it. There are people that are thirsty for help, and they don't get it. So there's all kinds of thirst. How about bringing the needy into your home and sharing with them? Somebody is lonely. Jesus said on the judgment day, He is actually going to ask and see if you shared in your home with somebody who was needy. Now, hey, wait a minute, preacher. I can meet their need on the street. I'll go to their humble little dwelling and I'll, you know, but not inside my doors. That's my, and we have to be careful. We do have to be careful. We have to use good wisdom and good judgment. But let me tell you a little story about a man by the name of Murphy. Lived up the street from me. down in Burrsville, Maryland. If you blinked your eyes when you were going through town, you missed the whole town. Burrsville. It's set right on the Maryland, the Delaware line. But Mr. Murphy lived up the road in an old house by himself. No family. Nobody that he knew in the community much. I don't know how he really got to that community. But he walked on crutches. He depended on whoever could help him to get to the store, back, whatever. But I stopped in to see Mr. Murphy. And I began to bring him to church. I'd leave early, go get him, pick him up, bring him to church. He was hungry for fellowship. He had a need. I talked to him about his leg. He had been hit by a car 18 years before. He'd been walking on crutches. He couldn't use that leg at all. I said, Mr. Murphy, Russell, why don't you go think about this? Go get that leg taken off and get an artificial leg. I'll help you. And so I carried him back and forth to Baltimore. He had it taken off. He got an artificial leg. Next thing I know, I saw him going down the road on a bicycle. He got that artificial leg. He came up to the church. He picked up a wheelbarrow. He pushed it and helped me work. He went down the road to a farmer. The farmer gave him a job. He gave him a tractor to ride back and forth to the job. He rode that tractor into the church parking lot for revival. Backed it in there with his bibbed over hose. Came to church. Mr. Murphy and Linda fed him on a Sunday after church. We kept him in our home Sunday afternoon. And then I'd take him to church Sunday night, and he'd go home then afterwards. You talk about a blessing. Oh, Mr. Murphy got so blessed, he found him a girlfriend, got married, and moved away. All because the preacher went up the road and walked in his door and said, I'm here, you're lonely, you need somebody to be a friend. Never forget Russell Murphy as long as I live. Bringing somebody into your home who's lonely. What about somebody who's grieving? Does anybody here know anybody who is grieving? Huh? Do you know that this season is one of the toughest seasons there is? To go without your loved one? I had a 93-year-old widow lady tell me last night, my life is over. My husband died. Thursday we would have been married 70 years. And he's gone. He said, my life is over. He said, I'm done. I'm finished. If you know somebody that's grieving, maybe it's a time to reach out and share with that individual. I know I was looking on Facebook the other day caught my eye, a gentleman put on there about missing his mom. How long has she been dead? Close to 10 years. But he still misses her. There's still an emptiness in the heart because of the grief. I walked into my basement the other day, cleaning out the basement there under Sister Gladys's apartment, and I looked again at that 4x4 sheet of plywood that my dad laid his last project, his last wood project down on, and I fastened it to the 4x4 sheet of plywood just like he left. Yeah. His square, his rule, his pencil, everything is right there where he laid it down. I say, you may see, it'll be 13 years. Was. This past month. 13 years, but there's still a missing. Can you think of the fresh? Sister Gaver? Brother Ray, this will be your first Christmas without us. I know that's got to hurt down inside. You got to feel it. Somebody needs to share. Sister Willard? Brother Charlie, just been gone just a little bit, seems like. And I see the tears in your eyes. Grief. And somebody needs to be able to reach out and minister in those needs? How about someone who is sick? Bringing them by for a meal or reaching out to them. Right now we have a young lady who she printed up your bulletins every week for the last couple of years. She did all the design work on the inside. But right now she is hurting because she was just, her stomach was operated on and they had to extend her esophagus and they had to put a new flapper down inside the esophagus in order for her to be able to eat. She can't eat solid food yet. She is hurting at home, and thank God for a hubby. Bill West, who is right there ministering to her. He's tending her wounds and he is helping her in every way. But I'm sure there's some days where, you know, in that healing process, she could probably use a friend. Anybody here know anybody that's sick? I heard of a grandpa who has lung cancer. He's going to need extra special care. He's going to need family to surround him together, close by. Not too long ago, a friend of mine was not sick physically, but he was depressed. And he wanted to quit his job. It was good to be able to go in and sit down with him in his home and begin to try to get together a plan whereby he could get out of the depressing situation he was in and start a new plan for life. Friends, the sick need us, and Jesus is talking about this. Clothing the naked. Now you might not actually see somebody who is absolutely naked, but we're talking about those who do not have the clothes to wear in life that they need. I remember when I was a freshman in college, busy hustling across the campus to get into class, to get the class on time, and I looked up the street and here come this old gentleman in a raggedy outfit, and to be honest with you, I was trying to skirt around him. And I didn't make it. He spied me. "Young fella, do you have something for a hungry old man?" I'm a college student. I'm working in the kitchen at the cafeteria to make ends meet to get through college. Somebody happens to be coming along with popcorn balls for sale. I said, "I don't have much, but I said, I'll buy you a popcorn ball." You know, his face lit up as he took that popcorn ball and he looked at me and he said, "Thank you, young man." And on down the street he went. I don't know who that old fellow was, but if I could only share a popcorn bar with him at the time, I went on across the campus thinking, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I didn't bypass him. Thank you, Lord, that our pathways." Here I am, 40 years later, 45 years later, telling you about that old man that I had a 2-minute intercession with on the streets of Cleveland, Tennessee. Maybe there's somebody who needs some clothes. They don't need what else is on the market? A we, a you, a me, Xbox. Maybe they just need a good pair of pants. Maybe they just need a good coat to keep them warm during the cold weather. There's some fellows living out by the railroad tracks. They had them in the paper a few weeks ago. My good friend who runs Amoco Transmission, Brother Rep, he and his church go out there and they minister to those fellows that are living along the tracks back in there. Thank God for Brother Rep and his son who pastor in Hagerstown. Somebody needy, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. How many here has ever been inside of a prison or a jail? I'm not asking whether they kept you there or let you loose. You've been in there to see. It's not a, you know, they talk about, yeah, they've got colored TV and a weight room and all of that. But let me tell you something. When you walk through that door and they bang it shut, I am glad to know I'm coming back out. When I talk to those officers who are in charge, I say, yes, sir. I don't want to make him angry with me. I want to know that he's going to open that door and let me back out. But can you imagine? Can you imagine what it's like? I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, on Judgment Day, we will be judged, brother or not. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I know somebody. I know people in jail right now. If you need somebody to go see, then I can help you find a way to go see that person in prison. What are some examples of other anointings? Well, there's a lady in the Bible who had an alabaster box of ointment. It was very expensive and it was very nice. She took that box of ointment and broke it over Jesus and anointed him. The deacons in his evangelistic team get angry. What is this? Wasting that good perfume on you. I wouldn't have dared even thought about it. Jesus said, you don't know, but she's done a good deed. She's anointed me for my burial. Oh my. What about that lady? She said, they tell us that she had a bad reputation. But a lady in the Bible who came in to where Jesus was, and she was so touched by him that the tears ran from her eyes. She was down in front of him, knelt before him, and the tears rolled down her cheeks, dripped off of her eyelids and onto his feet, enough tears that she could bathe his feet. And she had hair long enough she could pull it down and dry his feet with her hair. A good deed. And then there is that lady in Joppa named Tabitha Dorcas. Bible says she was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. You know the story. She died. And when they brought the apostle to where she was, people had in their hands, they had the clothes that she had sewn for them. They had the things and they told him, this is a good person. She has done so much good. And she has reached out and she has worked her fingers to the bone in order to help us. That's some other anointing. So here are some anointings you can receive from the Lord to do the good deeds just as Jesus did. Last of all, I want you to know doing good deeds is the instruction of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Do. I want you to notice that word. Do means it is an action word. If it means that you have to put forth effort and take action. If you're going to do something, you got to get out of the lazy boy. If you're going to do something, you have to walk out the front door. You have to get in the car. You have to go. You have to buy. You have to whatever in order to. It's action. You can't. Oh boy, we are in the remote age. I just push my remote button and everything appears that I want. And if it don't work, I get frustrated.
Hello? Some of you guys, you want a remote wife. You got the instructions on there. Bring me a drink. Put my slippers on. Some of you ladies, you want a remote husband too.
Yes.
Bring me breakfast in bed.
I got it made anyway. I don't need a remote.
The second thing he says in this scripture is to be rich. What does it mean to be rich? It means that you have a bountiful supply. And in this case, he's saying a bountiful supply of good deeds. Sometimes if we do one good thing, we kind of run around saying, look at me. Ha! I fed one old geezer. That's our attitude. Huh? Instead of one hungry man. Kind of our attitude. Jesus is saying here, the apostle is saying, be rich. In other words, have a full supply of good deeds. Let it become a part of your life until this is part of you and part of what you're about and who you are. A bountiful supply of good deeds to do for others. And then he says, ready, which means you have made preparation to get her done. You can't do good deeds without having prepared yourself to do it. If you're going to give somebody a coat for winter, you got to go find the coat. You know, one of the sad things, we used to have a friend that worked for the mission in Hagerstown. You know where you give all those donations? They had to hire people to sort through the stuff that people brought in to pick out the trash from what was presentable to give to somebody. I wouldn't even think about it. You know, if I've got an old coat, the elbow is going out of it and the collar's coming off, I'll give that to the mission. No. If it's not good enough for me to wear, it's not good enough to give to the mission for somebody else to wear. Hello?
Amen.
So it means we have to be ready. We have to prepare. And then he says, willing, which means you desire to do so of your own free will. Your heart is in it.
Well, I'm going to give somebody something this Christmas and do something good for somebody because a preacher said I had to do it.
I want to hear next Sunday Jody get up and say, guess what? Brenda made me breakfast this morning. Oh, you're just the cutest couple. Oh, you've made a record. Titus 2:7 said, and you yourselves must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Part of the reason for doing good deeds is to set examples for others, especially the younger generation. They need to know that mom and dad, they need to know that grandpa, they need to know that somebody is setting example of doing good for others. Suppose you're a kid and you're raised in a family where you could care less about anybody else, just you. What kind of an attitude does that kid have going out into life? But if they're raised in a family where mom and dad is always doing something good for somebody else, can you see the change of attitude in their life? Every kind here in Titus means you constantly search for new ways to do good deeds. Scratching your head. How many times have you sat down and tried to figure out the budget? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for this? You spend a lot of time. How many times have we sat in our easy chair and spent hours just looking at images on the TV? And then how much time have we spent at our kitchen table with a pad and pen of trying to figure out what else I can do to help somebody else in life? Hebrews 10 and 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work. In other words, be prodding your fellow brothers and sisters to do good deeds. I have a whole bunch of good deeds in this box. I'm going to prod you.
Amen.
Take two to start with, and then I'll come back. Pass them around. Pass them back through. Take one. Pass it back. See what kind of a good deed you might be able to perform this season to do good for somebody else. Now you might get one that you don't like. They are in there. Go to prison and visit. Oh, Brother Al, I know you so much that you're not that way. That's not you talking. Some fellow told Al one day, I like the tie you've got on. He took it off and gave it to him. That man will give you the shirt off his back. You got to be prodding. You have to prod others to do good. Have you done something good for somebody this week? Don't run out before you get your paper. Wait a little moment. While you're getting your good deed to do, the last scripture, James 2:17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Good deeds proves your faith is real and not just a profession. You can come here to Emmanuel Chapel for 40 years and confess that you're a Christian and you love Jesus. But if you never act on it, it means nothing. James is saying, you've got to back up your faith by showing your good deeds. And I'm closing out. Doing good deeds is a command of Jesus. It's not just if you want to. To all His followers, with the end results of bringing praise to our Heavenly Father and to prove you really are a Christian. The last slide I really like. Who among us is willing to take up the challenge and leave the comfort of your own little world and launch out into a sea of those who need our kindness? Do you believe there are people in your community that need your kindness? Is there somebody who is hungry in the area? If not in the area, in Africa? In Sudan? Just let me know if you want to feed the hungry and I can get it to them. Is there somebody in our area who is lonely, who is sick, who is grieving? I can give you a list of people if you need to know somebody that's lonely. All you have to do is check the obituary column and you'll find lonely people. All you have to do is go to the nursing home and walk down the hall and you'll find plenty of rooms where nobody ever darkens the door but the nursing staff. I can give you a whole list of people who are lonely. Those that are sick, we don't have to go too far. There are plenty. Is there some left over? We've got to get the associate pastor and his family in on this too. They get all of them that's left in the box. You can visit on the telephone, Sister Pearl. Amen. Just ask that young lady that comes to your house and does so many good things for you. I'm not going to embarrass her this morning, but ask her to take you to see somebody. Amen. How many believe where there's a will, there's a way? Is this a command of Christ? Is it something we are obligated to do? How many now receive your challenge with a willing heart? You say, Pastor Lay, I'm ready. Heavenly Father, you know everybody that's here. There might be some sitting right in our midst who are needy. Lord, there's a family associated with this church who recently, the lady said, we go to bed some nights hungry because we don't have enough food. Lord, you know the needs. Now we have a congregation of people who have been challenged in this good season to do some good things in obedience to your good word that you yourself commanded to your disciples. Help us. Anoint us. Lord, send the Holy Spirit upon us. Not just to dance and to shout. Not just to speak in other languages and to have a good time. But send your anointing upon us that we will take the message of good news and we will go out and put it into reality in operation in the lives of others. We need your anointing to be able to do your work so that our Heavenly Father will receive praise and honor and glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may stand, turn to your neighbor and say, what can I do for you?